Amen. Praise his name indeed. He's worthy of our praise today. It is so good to see each and every one of you this morning. I'm excited to continue on in our series through the book of Ephesians. Today we are going to be in chapter 3, so if you have your Bibles with you, I want to encourage you to go ahead and turn in your Bibles there. We'll get to that here in just a minute. As you recall from last week, for those of you that were able to be a part of the worship service, what we're focusing on as we go through the book of Ephesians is this idea, this understanding here that there was a people group referred to as the Gentiles that were made to feel like they were on the outside looking in. And as we talked about last Sunday, the good news of Jesus Christ is that the Gentiles were allowed into this salvation through Jesus as well. They didn't have to become Jewish first in order to be Jesus followers, in order to be saved by grace through faith. And so the good news is that you're in too because of the grace of Jesus Christ. I shared last week my unfortunate story of my basketball tryouts when I was in sixth grade. That wasn't the only thing I tried out for in sixth grade. It kept going, actually. I played soccer even from like when I was in kindergarten, right? I mean, it was just from I was very, very young, started playing. And eventually there came an opportunity where I could try out for the traveling team, like the select team, right? Where you wouldn't just play at the same, you know, rec fields all the time or whatever, but like you would be on a team that would go to, you know, different places around town, and you're playing all, anyway, it was pretty cool. We'd go to different tournaments, whatever. And I really wanted to be I really wanted to be on the team and everything there. And so tryouts came around. And so I went and I tried out, and you know, we did these different drills, right? If you had to, you know, run sprints, and they would time you to see how fast you would go, and you had to, you know, dribble the ball and shoot the ball and all this, you know, whatever, you know, kind of stuff or whatever. And as I went through that, like, there were definitely people there that as they were going, like, you knew they were making the team, right? And then you looked at me and you were like, ah! No, maybe, you know. And so we did all the tryouts and everything, and it was really weird because I didn't know hardly anybody there. There was maybe one guy that was trying out that I had met before just from a previous team. And again, like, this was probably sixth grade again. There was a lot that went on my sixth grade year. Anyway, that's a whole nother story. So went through all this and everything, and then I just had to wait, right? For the results. And these results now, they weren't going to be taped up on the gym because there wasn't any gym to go to figure it out. Like, I just had to wait on a phone call from the coach, right? Talk about nerve-wracking, because if I don't make the team, then the coach is literally just calling me to tell me that I didn't make it. That's an awkward conversation. Like, do I tell him thank you for that? Like, I don't know how to respond there. And but praise God, I actually made the team. Saved my whole self-esteem and everything. It was amazing. thank you. That's hilarious. But here's what I found out really quick. And that is that tryouts are not the same as practice. Right? When we were in tryouts, the coach was pretty cool. I mean, he was just working the stopwatch, right? He was just taking notes. He was just like, you just do your drills, and it is what it is, and you're gonna be good, or you're not gonna be good, or you're gonna be better than the other people, or you're not gonna be better than the other people, and that's just it is what it is. But when practice came, now all of a sudden it's like he mad at me, right? Now it's like I gotta run faster, and I gotta kick harder, and I gotta learn all these, like, you know, defensive schemes and passing schemes, and I've gotta, you know, figure out what position I'm playing in. And now there's like pressure, like if I don't do my job, then I'm letting the whole team down and everything. And I was like, whoa, man, this is different when you're on the team. You know what I'm saying? Like, when I got cut from the basketball team, I didn't have any stress about basketball after that. I didn't have any stress about making a hoop. I didn't have any stress about guarding anybody because I wasn't even allowed out on the court to do any of that, right? But when I made the soccer team, now all of a sudden it was stressful. Like, this coach has expectations for me, right? And so it's one thing that I got to be in on the soccer team, but now I've got responsibilities, right? Well, as you might imagine, that's some of what we're going to talk about today as we get into Ephesians chapter 3. See, it is a great thing that God has allowed for all of us by faith in Jesus and His grace in our lives. We get to be in, like, no matter what our history has been, we get to be on the team, and we don't, but we're not just on the team to be able to wear the jersey, right? Because that's what fans do. Fans wear the jersey up in the stands, right? But when you're on the team, when you're in, like you put that jersey on, now you have responsibility. You're not just saved by grace through faith just so you can have a jersey. No, you got some things to do. Praise God. And so today we're going to talk about what it is that God was speaking to this Gentile audience, those that were on the outside, but now they're in, right? What are some things that He was speaking into their lives, and how does that apply to us, and how can we live that out ourselves? So before we get into Ephesians chapter 3, let's pray for just a moment. Lord God, we do thank You so much for Your presence here with us. We thank You, Lord, for Your word. We thank You for the opportunity to gather together and to worship Your holy name. We thank You, Father. We thank You, Lord, for the opportunity we have to literally have our hearts and minds changed by You through the work of Your Holy Spirit right now. God, I ask that the words of my mouth would be Yours, because I know, Father, that my words accomplish nothing, but Your words are eternal. Your words are powerful, God. Would You just allow the power of Your word to be manifested in this place today, God, that we might all be changed by it for Your glory and through Your grace. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So again, we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 3, and I want to start in verse 7. Ephesians chapter 3, and let me read for you verses 7 and 8 as we get started here. It says, I became a servant. Now, this is Paul speaking to the Ephesian church. I became a servant of the gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of His power, although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people, this grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ. So, again, just to reiterate here, now that you're in, God has given grace for you in a very specific way. And Paul refers to this here as the gift of grace that was given to him. God gave Paul a very specific gift, a very specific assignment, if you will. And we refer to that in the church as spiritual gifts. We all, as those who are saved by grace through faith in the Son of God, we all have been given spiritual gifts. These are specific things that we have a sort of a divine empowerment to accomplish, something that is beyond just our personality and our strengths, but something that God is doing in our lives, that when we are walking by faith in Him, He gives us each individually these specific ways in which we can live out the working of God's Holy Spirit in us. Let me show you here, because actually the Bible talks about this quite a bit, specifically in the New Testament. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 6, it says, we have different gifts, and we all do, according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. And it actually continues on there with several other gifts that you might have there. But the point is there that your gift and my gift is not going to be the same. And that's a good thing, by the way. Even if we did have the same gift, the way that you carry out your gift and the way I carry out my gift is not going to be the same. Like we all have been given different gifts to use for God's glory in different ways. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. See, what we need to recognize here is that these spiritual gifts that we have, this is not just us doing good work for God. This is us actually allowing God's Holy Spirit to work through us, that as we submit ourselves to God in a relationship, through a relationship with Jesus Christ, His Holy Spirit is activated within us, and these gifts kind of rise up. And you will begin, once you are walking with Jesus, to be able to do some things, some very specific things that bring God glory that other people can't really do like you do. And what's important for us as believers is to be able to discern and to figure out, what is it that God has gifted me with? How is it? What are the specific things that He has given to me that I can give Him glory with through my spiritual gifts? By the way, this is also a really good reason for you to be engaged in someone that is personally discipling you. Because many times, it's hard for you to see how God has gifted you. But if you have somebody, sort of a spiritual mentor, if you will, that is speaking into your life and meeting with you and praying with you, that loves you and is walking with you in this faith journey, like that person is going to be able to see some things in you that you may not even see in yourself. And together, you're going to be able to discern, what is that spiritual gifting that God has given specifically to me? For Paul, part of that spiritual gift was to preach to the Gentiles the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news that even though they are not enough to save themselves, that Jesus Christ died on a cross, that their sins might be forgiven, that they might be able to be made whole, and they might be able to live the life of salvation even now, right? That was part of the gift that Paul had been given. What we have to recognize here too, though, and Paul even speaks to this, that it comes through the power of God. I think it's interesting there in verse 8 where Paul even goes to the point of saying, I am less than the least of all the Lord's people, yet this grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles. Here's Paul, this guy who is planting churches, this guy who is raising up leaders, this guy who had this crazy conversion from Judaism into being a Jesus follower and everything, and he refers to himself as less than the least of all of God's people, right? See, it could have been real easy for Paul to say, man, I've been really studying the Word. I've been really obedient to God. I've been really submitting myself to Him. And because I've been so good at doing all these things, God has just been blessing me like crazy, right? It sounds familiar to maybe some other messages that you've heard, maybe from some other places at some point, that because you do such good things that God will bless you in some amazing ways. What Paul says here is, I'm actually less than the least of anybody. Yet because of the grace of Jesus Christ, He has given me a specific gift to live out in my life. See, this is really good news, church. You got to understand this. Because what that means is that no matter how messed up you have been, or no matter how you have struggled maybe to get to the point in faith where you are right now, God, through the grace of Jesus Christ, and in response to your faith, is able to work His Holy Spirit in you in order that you can accomplish a gift that nobody else can accomplish. Realize this now. I hope you understand how significant this is. You have something in you that no one else on this earth can do. You have a way in which you can do that no one else on this earth can do it. And if you don't do it, it will not be done. Think about that for a second. But now, I'm not trying to stress you out or anything here. I'm really not. But just realize here, if you don't do what you have been gifted to do, how does that impact the kingdom of God? You know what I'm saying? Yet, at the same time, because of the grace of Jesus Christ, We all get to join in with the spiritual gifting that he has given us. We don't have to be sitting in a seat for 20 years before we have a spiritual gift. We don't have to give a certain amount of money before we get a spiritual gift. We have to walk by faith in Jesus. We need to trust him with our lives. We need to submit ourselves to God's Holy Spirit, and his Spirit will produce this very specific gift in our lives, and then we get to live that out for his glory. And you don't have to earn it. Like Jesus just gives that to you. How amazing is that? Paul was very clear that he didn't do anything fantastic to be able to earn this gift to preach to the Gentiles. But yet he, through the grace of Jesus Christ, he was able to live this out. Let's keep going here in verse 9. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 9. It says, and to make plain to everyone, this is Paul continuing on in this gifting that he's been given. So first, the first part of the gift in verse 8 was to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ. And then verse 9, and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery. And if you remember, the mystery is that the Gentiles are also included in this point of salvation, which for ages past was kept hidden in God who created all things. His intent, God's intent, was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. All right, so let me break this down just a little bit here, and we'll sort of take it part by part. So first of all, recognize that the first part of the grace that Paul was given was to preach to the Gentiles, right? That was that specific gifting that he was given. But there was another part of that gift that he was given as well. The second part of his gift, which we see there in verse 9, is to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery. Now, what's interesting about this part here is that the specific gift that Paul was given speaks to the general responsibility that all of us have, right? Stick with me here. I promise this is going to make sense here in just a minute. So God gave Paul this grace to preach to the Gentiles, this outside group that now they're allowed in. And so Paul has this very specific mission to speak to them and make sure that they know that the gospel is that they get to be in as well, which is good news for all of us because we get to be in too. But beyond that, he also had this gift of making sure that everybody knew that they were to administer the good news of this mystery to others as well. See, now that you're in, now that you're included in this salvation of grace in Jesus Christ, we have some responsibilities that we have to live out according to what Paul is telling us here. See, because in verse 10, when it talks about everyone, he's talking to the church. Everyone is everyone. That's us, right? And part of the general responsibility that all of us have is to administer this mystery to those that are around, to let others know, to tell and to make known to those who feel like they're on the outside right now, to make known to them that they can be in as well. And I could probably guess some of the things that you're maybe thinking right now, right? Like, well, I don't have to make known the mystery of the good news to the Gentiles. Like, that was Paul's specific gift, right? Like, that ain't got nothing to do with me, Pastor, right? You know, Paul could have even said, I'm a Jew. This isn't my thing. Like, why would I need to do that? Or even you could have people on the other side of this who might say, well, I'm a Gentile. Like, why do I need to tell other people about this? Like, that's not my job. Or maybe even I don't know enough to be able to administer this mystery of you know, I don't even know what that phrase even means. What are you talking about? Like I've never done that before. I'm kind of scared to talk to people or whatever. And the reality is that no matter what kind of thoughts and excuses and things that we might come up with, the reality is that we all have this responsibility. Everyone who makes up the church by faith in Jesus Christ has this general responsibility to administer, as Paul says, or to make known the fact that people who are on the outside get to be in through Jesus. All of us get that. And even if it's not like your specific gift, like you may not feel the specific gift of evangelism, for example. You may not feel the gift of being able to just share good news with people and see that like amazing fruit come from all that or whatever. I'm just letting you know, even if that's not your gift, everyone in the church has the general responsibility of making known the good news of Jesus to those that feel outside, so that they know that they're allowed in as well. We all have that responsibility. The grace that God gives you specifically will be how you accomplish the general responsibility of administering this mystery, right? And all of us who make up the church are responsible for this administration. We're responsible for making known to those outside that they are able to be in. So here's what this looks like, okay? We have a general responsibility to communicate good news to people who need it, which is also everybody, right? And then we also have these spiritual gifts that are just for us. It is not a general responsibility. Like, I can't be held accountable to your spiritual gifts. I can only be held accountable for the spiritual gifting that God has given me so that I can live according to that gifting, right? And so I have this general responsibility, and I have this specific gifting. And the way that it works is that in my specific gifting, I will use that gift to accomplish the general responsibility, right? So, for example, maybe your gift is hospitality. Maybe you are just really good at making people feel at home, not just in your home, but even here at the church building or at a coffee shop or at the grocery store, wherever you happen to be. It just seems like other people just tend to feel really comfortable around you, right? Well, in that gift of hospitality that is beyond just who you are naturally, but that God is able to work in that gift, you are able to then accomplish the general responsibility that you have to let people know that they're able to be in with God through relationship with Jesus Christ as well. You see that? So we all have the general responsibility, but the way that we accomplish that is through the specific gifting that we have. Again, we're in. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, we get to be in, but we're not just in to sit and watch others. We're in order that we might live out the spiritual gifting that we have, in order that we might accomplish the general responsibility of sharing good news with people around us. We get to engage in that, and Paul is leading the Ephesian church in accomplishing that as well. Now, this last part here is one that is really exciting, but a little heavy, and so follow me here. I'm going to go back and read verses 10 and 11 again. So we're Ephesians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. It says, "His intent, God's intent, was that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms according to the eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord." Now, I want you to notice who needs to be made known, right? It is not the Jewish people that need to be made known. It is not Gentile people that need to be made known. But rather, it is the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, right? And you might be like, well, what in the world are you talking about there? Like, the easiest way that I know how to explain it is that behind everything physical, there is something spiritual going on, right? So, like, for example, when you have a conflict with somebody, when you have when you're talking to somebody and you're getting all up in your flesh, right? They're just getting on your last nerve, right? Don't look at anybody right now because they're going to know it's them. Don't do it. I'm trying to keep my eyes down, actually, too. I don't want to risk it. I'll look up as well. And so you're just, they're just all over you, right? And so you know that, like, you're feeling this frustration, and when I say you're all up in your flesh, like, you just want to win, like, this argument, right? It's not even about what the Spirit of God is doing anymore. It's just like, how can I win, or whatever there, right? But you're just feeling this frustration there. In the midst of that conflict, there is something spiritual happening as well, all right? So it could be that there is something spiritual happening in you. Hear me now. It could be that part of the reason you are feeling that frustration is because there is a spirit of the devil, right? And stick with me here now, because as much as you might not really want to talk about this, the reality is it's in the Bible and it is real. And if you're not aware of it, then it will get up all over you, right? But there may be a spirit of the enemy that is actually working against you in that situation, and that's why you are feeling the draw to your flesh instead of submitting to God's Holy Spirit. It could be that there is a spirit at work in the midst of that situation there, right? In the midst of the environment that is there, that there is some sort of demonic activity that is actually bringing about that frustration and causing you to look to yourself rather than causing you to look to God. Or it could be that there is an evil spirit that's at work in the person that you're talking to, right? And it's really easy for us to be like, oh, yeah, that's the one. Like, yeah, the devil is definitely in that person because they drive me nuts, right? Yeah. It'd be real easy to go there, but the reality is that seldom is that alone the case. Seldom is that alone the case, and I'm just giving my own personal testimony right now, all right? I've recognized for myself that when I think that it is only the other person that I'm talking to that has the problem, then that usually means that I am the one who is almost 100% of the problem, right? And I can't see it because I'm the problem. So the reality is there are these rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. There are some of these evil spirits that are at work in and around us. And if we are not aware of those things, then we will lose our battle to them. But watch this now. What Paul says is that we as the church need to make known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms this good news of Jesus. All right? Now that you're in, you need to say some things to the devil himself. You need to say some things in order to help set free those who aren't in yet. Right? Watch this now. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, so just a few chapters down here in the same letter that Paul wrote to the Ephesians, he says, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Notice here who you aren't talking to. You're not talking to people. You're talking to spirits. And I know, like, you see me up here and you're like, oh, pastor, like, that's cute and all and everything, and I'm sure that's probably in the Bible, but that ain't my ministry, bro. Like that's not for me. Like, that is not the gift that God gave me. Like, I ain't trying to talk to nobody from the devil, and don't even go there with me. And I'm just letting you know, church, when Paul is speaking here to the Ephesian church, as God is speaking through Paul to the Ephesian church, what he's telling them is that the manifold wisdom of God is going to be communicated through the church. He actually uses those words, through the church to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. In other words, it is our general responsibility, not just those who are specifically gifted, but each and every one of us, that we would say some things to spirits that are not of God in order that we might be able to save those, or at least help those that are not yet in part of the church. Watch this now, because here's what's real crazy. Is that before you were in, somebody was talking to those spirits on your behalf. I promise they were. Somebody was praying for you. Somebody was coming against every evil thing that is trying to hold you back. Everything that was trying to wreck your life, somebody was praying against that. Somebody was talking to spirits that were trying to ruin your life. And I know that, if particularly if you're new to the church and everything, and you hear me talking like this, like, woo, I don't know if this is the kind of church I signed up for or whatever. I'm just letting you know right now, it ain't about the church you're a part of. It's about the Word of God that we're following. And Paul is real clear here about the fact that this is how it works. Like, we can pretend like there are not evil spirits that are trying to destroy our lives, but probably the odds are that when we try to pretend that, we are also going to fall victim to them. And we're going to wonder, like, man, like, what happened? Why is God mad at me? God's not mad at you. But there are some evil forces in this world. There are some spirits that are not of God that are trying to wreck and destroy your life. And if we don't address that, then we're going to lose to it. Now here's the good news. Because once we decide to follow Jesus, once we submit our lives to Him, once we're in, right? We get to intercede on behalf of other people. We get to tell the devil some things that will help save their lives, just like some people help save our lives. How awesome is that, right? That's like being on your deathbed and having a paramedic come and save your life, and then you go and you become a paramedic so that you can save somebody else's life. How awesome is that, right? That you can kind of pay it forward, if you will, right? Like, you don't have to, like, again, church, I just want us to recognize, like, as good as it is that we get to be a part of the church, that we get to be a part of the kingdom of God, that we get to be saved by grace through faith, that we get to be forgiven, we get to be made whole, we get to be healed, like, all those things are wonderful and awesome, but we also get to be on the team that has responsibility, that we can make sure that we're not the only ones here. Like, we don't just get in and then shut the door and leave everybody else out. No. We get in and then we tell the world, like, hey, y'all need to come in too. And that's not just something that a few people get to do, but we all have the responsibility to be a part of sharing this good news with the world. Church, the good news is that through the grace of Jesus Christ, you get to be in with God through this relationship with Jesus. And now that you're in, you get to help other people get there too. How awesome is that? I want to invite the worship team to come on back up here. And as they come, you know, I recognize, you know, that what we're talking about can seem a little heavy, right? Like, man, Pastor, I don't know if I'm signing up to talk to, like, evil spirits and stuff. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, I love the people around me, and I want them to be saved, and I want them to be in as well. I want them to be in with Jesus. I really, really do. But I don't think I'm ready for all that. Like, I'm a little scared. Like, I don't know. I just don't feel confident in all that. And Pastor, it's great that you're doing that, and I praise God for the fact that somebody did that for me. But I just don't know about all that for my life, right? What I find interesting here is that as you look at the letter that Paul wrote to the Ephesian church, he was actually writing from prison. Isn't that interesting? So here Paul, like, doing all that he did with all of his life and all that kind of stuff, you know, making a difference for people and everything, like, that was great and all. But he was in prison writing these things to the church in Ephesus. Like, I ain't been to prison in a little while. But I got to imagine that the prison Paul was in is probably not that great. Right? I would imagine it probably could have been real easy for Paul to be like, this is nuts. Like, these people ought to be writing me letters. Right? Somebody ought to be visiting me here. Like, somebody ought to be encouraging me. Like, I don't even know about all this stuff. Like, Lord, I thought I was on your side. God, how in the world could you put me in this prison? Like, he could have gone there. He could have gone there, but he didn't. Even though he was sitting in prison, he wrote a letter to a church in another city, which to us just sounds like, oh, you just put it in the mailbox and it'll get there. Well, not exactly. Like, it's a little different, right? It's not just sending an email, right? But he would not let anyone keep him from accomplishing the mission that God had given him to accomplish. He wasn't going to let prison keep him back. He wasn't going to let where he was, anything like that. He wasn't going to let what he felt like keep him from accomplishing that which God called him to do. And I just want to encourage you today, like, I don't know what it is that makes you feel like you're in a prison, that makes you feel like you can't do something, that makes you feel limited in what you're able to accomplish, but I'm just letting you know right now, it's not about what you can accomplish. Remember, Paul said, I'm less than the least of all these. He didn't do these things. He didn't speak to the rulers and authorities and the principalities of this dark world. He didn't do all that because he was able to, because he was some great thing. He did that because he just simply submitted to God's Holy Spirit in his life. And look at how God was able to use that to minister to other people. I just want you to know, whatever it is that comes to your mind right now that says, I can't, you can. Because it's not about you. That's what I got to do. Okay, let me try to say this real quick, and then I'm going to get to you. I promise I will. If as you sit here and you hear me say, okay, like church, we got to be about this here. If you hear that and you think to yourself, oh, yeah, no, but yeah, but no. No, I can't. Then what you're saying is that you have to be somebody before God can work in your life. See, what you're saying is that God, who is all-powerful and created all that is, and sent Jesus to the cross to die for our sins and actually overcame death itself, who did all these things, he can't do this thing in your life. That's what you're saying. That's what you're saying. Which sounds crazy when you put it like that, right? I mean, that just sounds ridiculous. But that is kind of what we're saying. So what I'm asking you is, like, what is it that's holding you back? What is the prison that you feel like you're in? That maybe it's like you don't know enough, that you're not confident enough, that you're just scared of whatever evil principalities are out there, whatever. I'm just letting you know right now, we can't let anything hold us back. We are the church of the living God. Like, we serve Jesus Christ. God is our creator. He's made us and he sustains us, and there is nothing that he cannot do. And it doesn't matter who I am and what I'm able to do all by myself. It only matters who he is and what he can accomplish. So why don't we just let him do what only he can do? Who might get saved? Whose life might get changed? Who might be able to go from being an outsider to being in simply because we decide we're not going to let anything keep us from accomplishing the mission of Christ in our lives? Stand with me if you would, please. We're going to sing a song or two here, and as we do, I want to just encourage you to step out of prison today. I want to encourage you to just reach out to Jesus. Maybe there are some really specific things that you are feeling just the struggle with, right? That, oh, well, I want to be able to help. I want to be able to accomplish this general mission that Jesus has given everybody. I want to be able to live in my spiritual gifts, but I am scared to death, and I don't know how to take that first step. I want you to simply to commit that to God today and ask him to move you along. He is able. What would it look like for you to submit yourself to Jesus? Right here, right now, in your life, when you leave from here, what would it look like for you? As we sing, I want you to submit yourself to him. Maybe you want to come to an altar of prayer. Maybe you just want to pray right where you are. Maybe you want to pull somebody aside. Maybe you want to fill out a connect card and just be like, Pastor, I need you to pray for me because I don't even know where to start with this, and I need you to talk to me about this. Whatever it is, like, say yes to Jesus right now, because there are some people who are on the outside that need you to say yes. Because your gift was designed specifically for them. Let's say yes to him, even now.